Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
At 12:18, we'll start to figure out who the favorites should be for a Super Bowl run right now. We'll go NFC and AFC respectively over a couple segments. Who would you put your money on? You can take your calls on that coming up in about 12 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to our Beltway Blitz. Start with the Redskins and our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Craig, major storylines to monitor next couple of weeks are what?
Well, I think the biggest one with immediacy, we'll probably find out later today. I mean, we will find out later today, one versus the other, is Trent Williams going to play the final couple of weeks? Jay Gruden, as of yesterday at 3 o'clock when we spoke to him at the podium and said that the meeting in terms of Trent's future after he missed Sunday's game hadn't happened yet, not quite yet was his exact wording. And so hopefully they have that discussion after we met, and then we find out today, typically by 4 p.m. when some of the roster stuff processes, if they would indeed put him on IR. And then what they do with that roster spot, who they activate, those kinds of things moving forward. So I think that's the biggest thing with the most immediacy is Trent's immediate future. And then obviously we find out what the surgery is in the next couple of weeks and how long the recovery time is. And then it's the continuance of young players and finding out exactly what they've got.
Is Bibbs a thing? I liked a little bit of that. I like, because I'm into the scat back that can catch the ball and move a little bit. I'm over the bruising running back getting hit 3 yards in the backfield and not getting any yards. I want someone at least a little bit of breakaway speed there. Craig, what do you think?
Yeah, and look, I'm big on the Capri Bibbs train as a guy because I think he's a great dude. His story is pretty incredible. We're going to sit down with him this week, and so people can look forward to that on pregame this weekend of getting to know his story a little bit. But as a player, yeah, he's got some pop to him. I mean, this is a guy that had a pretty good average. I think he was averaging 4.4 yards and pretty limited carries in Denver, but that's still good over the course of, I think, like the 30 carries or so that he had in 2016. And then, you know, as a kickoff return guy, he set a single season record in college at Colorado State for touchdowns. I think he had 31 in 14 games, which is incredible. So this is a guy that's got some talent. And the thing is with him too, is he knows this offense. He spent training camp with San Francisco. So there's obviously a lot of carryover in the West Coast schemes that Kyle Shanahan runs to Jay Gruden's offense. And then you take that into him being on the practice squad for a couple of weeks and then turned into obviously the touchdown, but a guy who can make some guys miss and take care of the other third down responsibilities. And no, I don't think he's as good as Chris Thompson by any means, but he's a fine player. He's certainly not the worst option they could have had there at running back.
What are they waiting for? Trent Williams being shut down. Jay Gruden was asked yesterday. He said, we're not sure yet. What is the decision to be made there?
Hell if I know. Honestly, I wish I had a better answer. I think they obviously like him protecting Kirk's blind side. Like, that's the obvious answer, right? Is game to game, he's a better left tackle than Ty Insecki. However, you no longer have the hope of playing in the playoffs, and he, depending on how far he pushes this back, could miss the start of training camp or is obviously missing the ability to work out in the offseason as a healthy athlete. So I don't know what the weight is on Trent Williams. I've been saying for weeks they should just go ahead and shut him down once they were officially eliminated. But that to me right now, it's just they would rather him play because it's better for the offense and they still want to win games. And they should want to win games, just not at the expense of potentially in the future winning a championship. And that involves having a healthy Trent Williams.
Craig, I floated this yesterday. I want to get your take on it. I think now the injuries, we know about all of them, right? There's a sea of them, the offensive linemen, defense, et cetera. I think the two, one on each side of the ball, that they really couldn't get over in retrospect, on offense, Chris Thompson, and on defense, Jonathan Allen. Agree or disagree?
Definitely agree on offense. Chris is the one that broke them. They survived Jordan Reed's injury, although at times it felt like barely. They survived the offensive line stuff, although at times it was barely. Literally the game that Chris Thompson goes out, they blow a 14-point lead in an impossible time to blow a 14-point lead. And there's a million things that had to go wrong, but Chris Thompson's injury is one of them. And it hasn't been the same since. So Chris, absolutely on offense. Defensively, to me, it's almost a tie. It's Allen and it's Monte Nicholson. And I can't believe the second one is a thing.
Wow.
But when you look at how he eliminated big plays over the top with his range, the big hits he laid, he was part of that attitude this defense had early on in the year, where he was walloping guys, and not to mention, you know, being able to intercept and bat down balls as a free safety playing cover three, which is their primary coverage. He just is better, rangier, and longer than DJ Swearinger. Not to mention, DJ Swearinger wound up playing a lot more over the top and taking him out of the box, where he was a super impact in the run game. So there's a trickle-down effect to Nicholson's injury. And obviously, we didn't even know coming into the year that this guy was going to play at all. We all thought when Cravens left that Everett was going to be the guy. And then all of a sudden, game one, Monte Nicholson starting. You're like, wait, who's this? Like, he hasn't played all training camp. So it was pretty impressive for him to be able to do that. Obviously, Allen's injury mattered a lot. I think it had an impact on Preston Smith's lack of production in recent weeks. It had an impact on Matt Ioannidis. But also, there's the double whammy there of Ioannidis breaking his hand and being out and then the cast. So, like, Allen hurt a lot. I think I would argue that Nicholson was slightly more impactful, but I do think Allen, especially he was coming into form, like trying to really figure out how to play in the NFL. He was awesome in his last couple of games, and it's just devastating to lose him. But I actually think Nicholson had the bigger impact.
Thank you for the time, Craig. We appreciate it.
You got it. See you guys. Dude.
Let's move along and talk some puck. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post. You can hear him tonight with our own Tom Daly. Crashing the Net comes your way. Ahead of the Caps and the Stars. Preview this for us. They don't drop the puck in Dallas until 8:30. We'll wait a little while longer than normal. Then what will we get?
Well, you're going to see the return of TJ Oshie, right? I mean, this is going to be a boost to the hottest team in the league. And I think that it obviously improves Washington. I don't know how much better they can get. They're winning quite a bit. But I think what we'll see is the power play look a lot better, especially with another guy that can put pucks on the net in Oshie and be a threat to score in the slot and near the crease.
A little four-game road piece here, Neil. Dallas, Arizona, Vegas, the George McPhee Bowl, and then at the Rangers. Preview this trip for us all together. Obviously, Oshie coming back is the major story, yeah?
Yeah, major story. And I think, you know, the Dallas game should be a win. Arizona, I think the only real tough game on the schedule is playing in Vegas. Now, luckily, the Caps have a game on Friday, so they won't be in Vegas on a Friday night heading into a Saturday. But, yeah, I think that's all. This could be a pretty good road trip for them. I think that they can beat the Rangers, even though it's on the road. Then they have a game against Boston as well. It at home after the four-game swing. So this could be another nice little stretch. And, you know, look, let's face it, they've already ascended to the top of the East in the Metro, probably quicker than we had expected. The fact that they're getting TJ Oshie back is going to be huge. So I think that the Caps will look pretty good once they get back home against Boston.
Neil, you mentioned the return of Oshie. That second line with him, Verano, who's suddenly scoring at even strength quite often, and Evgeny Kuznetsov, could be pretty exciting if that's what they go with. Suddenly, this team's pretty deep.
Yeah, the depth was an issue, obviously, in the beginning. But I think most importantly, you look at how that line's constructed. You have Kuznetsov, who's a playmaking center. You have Rano, who has a nose for the net. And then you have Oshie, who can pretty much shoot from anywhere. That could turn out to be the most versatile line Barry Trotz has, especially going forward. I mean, I know that Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom, and even with the addition of Tom Wilson, have been solid, but I really do like what that second line provides the Capitals. Then you look at their third line, which has been scoring very well with Brett Connolly doing his best Wayne Gretzky impression as of late. That gives them three legitimate scoring lines. Then you add in the fourth line, which can score on occasion. Like you said, depth is key. And right now, with the return of Oshie, you have to consider Washington to be one of the deepest teams in the league, especially at the top six, perhaps even in the top nine.
Neil, tonight, 7 o'clock to 8:15, right up until puck drop right here on 106.7 The Fan. May the force be with you, my friend.
May the force be with you as well, my friend. Red 5 standing by.
I don't know what that means.
That was
very nerdy.
You should.
Well done, Neil, I guess. What is Red 5 standing by me?
It's not important. I'll have to explain. It'll take longer to explain to you, but just know that it's the Rogue Squadron.
Sounds good. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Who would you put money on, NFC and AFC? We'll do that over the next couple segments. You can call in now. Grant and Danny on The Fan. I don't think he'd be a mid-round guy. What have you heard, Nora?
Tommy's doing draft as we speak.
Yeah.
He's going early round two.
I feel like this is the quintessential third to fourth round Maryland receiver situation. But I have no evidence.
He was the Big Ten receiver of the year.
He was.
He had 80 catches and 1,000 yards with
no
a walk
help
on
from the quarterback.
Yeah, with zero help.
But I felt like, isn't he like 5'11"?
He's like 6'1".
He's listed 6'1", or he's 6'1"?
He's listed at like 6'1".
Yeah. I don't know. If he's 6 foot, that would help him a lot. I thought he was smaller than that. But maybe. I was thinking like you said, third or fourth round. But if he's going in the second when Thom's doing his mocks over there, what are you using? What site are you using for that?
I'm using fanspeak.com, I believe a caller came in and suggested last year.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with it.
It's a lot of fun.
It is the best.
Thommy's been promoted several times. He turned in some of his draft boards to me.
You've also fired him 8,000 times.
I'm saying he got promoted several times and got to pick where he wanted his office to be, what vacation he wanted. Then he had to come see me for a very different reason.
With Danny, I'm probably 15% success rate.
Higher than that.
But
no, it's not.
Danny will fire you behind the scenes if you don't draft a defensive lineman in the first round, no matter what.
Pretty much.
And I believe out of your first four picks, four have to be defensive, or at least three?
I think all of them do, yeah.
Yeah, every single pick up until the seventh round has to be a defensive player. And I did that once, and Danny offered me a trip to Greece.
You got to go to Greece. The Greek Isles. I mean, I was like, all expenses paid, Dar. Take a vacation.
At least you know what your boss wants. I mean, just do what he wants and get your trips.
How the draft board fell.
Yeah,
you know?
Who cares
if did what I could.
Players actually work out for you. But Maryland fans would want to know that he is leaving for the NFL draft. So congrats to him on a strong season, a good career. Who would you put your money on right now to make the Super Bowl? We could go NFC this segment, AFC next segment, and we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you to participate as well. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So here are your top options, so to speak. If you go through the conference standings right now, in the NFC, you've got the Philadelphia Eagles with the best record at 12-2. They are without Carson Wentz in the playoffs. Nick Foles is going to be at the controls of their offense. The Minnesota Vikings at 11-3, likely going to be the 2 seed and get a bye at this point. But Case Keenum is their quarterback, who's played very well in the second half of the season. Not a group going into the year you would have imagined saying, if Case Keenum quarterbacks the Vikings and they lose Dalvin Cook, but they play really good defense, I'm going to pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
That doesn't feel right, does it?
That is where we are. The rest of the playoff field as of this moment, the 10-4 Rams coming off a shellacking of the Seahawks, led by Jared Goff and Todd Gurley, Sean McVay's new-look offense. The New Orleans Saints at 10-4. The Saints are a fun playoff team and probably going to be a tough out for two reasons. One, of all the quarterbacks in this conference, Drew Brees may be the best in the postseason of the group. Two, they can run the ball better than they have really at any point, and they play defense better than they have during all the years of them getting to the postseason under Drew Brees, including one Super Bowl championship.
Absolutely true.
Years ago when they beat Indianapolis. The last of the teams in right now is the Carolina Panthers at 10-4. They've gotten frisky, won a couple in a row. They're 5-2 at home.
They beat Minnesota at home.
5-2 on the road. Cam Newton's making a lot of plays. He's actually throwing the football better last couple of weeks, had 4 passing touchdowns. Their defense is great. They've been able to run the ball on good defenses, including Minnesota, as you just mentioned, 2 weekends ago. The Falcons on the outside looking in. The Lions on the outside looking in. The Seahawks on the outside looking in. So, right now, this moment, you've got to put money on someone to come out of the NFC. Who is your runner-up, and then who do you put your money on?
So, this is actually really interesting because the Carson Wentz injury has kind of changed the dynamic here. The team that I like the best has lost to New Orleans twice this year. Other than that, this Carolina Panthers team has a really impressive resume. I didn't want to trust them because, to me, the big story before the season, if you recall, was Carolina kind of made this announcement and they sort of decided, hey, we're going to do this thing where we change Cam Newton. We're going to make him a West Coast offense, kind of quick passing game guy and feature Christian McCaffrey, and that's how we're going to do it. Well, slowly but surely, they've gotten back to doing not that. And lo and behold, the offense has picked it up. The offense is better than it was early on in the season. Now, he's never going to be a high completion percentage guy. We all know that. But he's doing some of those Superman things where he's throwing off his back foot 90 miles an hour down the field. He's going to miss people here and there. But
as
he's
of right now,
really good.
They would play the Saints in the first round.
That's the problem.
Who they lost to 34-13 at home and 31-21 in New Orleans just a few weeks ago.
That is my problem. That's their kryptonite. Other than that, they are 10-2, and they are as good as anybody. Defensively, they are awesome. They fly around. They're so fast. They look like that Carolina team that went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
But do you worry at all when you're looking at a Super Bowl team? They lost to the Bears 17-3.
Yeah, that's not good.
They beat the Bills 9-3 in one of the ugliest wins anyone has had this season.
Just a terrible win.
And I know that that was in week two, and that's so long ago that it probably doesn't matter. But they've had a few games like that. Even late October, right around Halloween, they beat the Bucks, who stunk at the time and still stink. I think it was like 17-3 or 14-3. Those type of wins for them this year worry me some.
And I get it.
They hung with the Eagles 28-23. That was a good loss, if there's such a thing. Who is their fourth loss to? I'm forgetting.
So they've lost to Minnesota, Chicago.
Vikings is the other
Philly,
one.
Philly, bad, and then the Saints twice.
Yeah.
So to me, I look at that, and you're
the
absolutely
Eagles
right.
Is the other one.
Yeah. So it's Eagles, Saints twice, and then
they beat
Chicago.
Minnesota.
Yeah, they beat Minnesota. Did I say the wrong thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
But that's fine. They, apologies. The Eagles is the team I wasn't thinking of.
To me, when they beat the Patriots, that was impressive. They handled Atlanta the first time they played. That was at home. Now they got to play them again, where Atlanta will have a lot to play for, presumably, in that one. Beating Minnesota the way they did, turning Aaron Rodgers' coronation into a dud with the multiple interceptions and constant pressure. The way they ran the ball against Minnesota, to me, spoke volumes. There's something about them. I could feel that cold weather situation where that the way they play will travel. Defensively, they're good enough. You know they're going to be able to run it. And I think Cam will never be that great passer, but he's going to make plays. And I know it's cliche alert. I know it's so irritating, but there's something about the way they're going right now that to me is the group that I'd probably spend money on.
The Panthers. Wow. Okay, in the NFC, if I had to put money on someone right now, I don't feel confident in this at all, for the record. It's the Minnesota Vikings. I think if you're putting money on a team, you should go with one of the teams that has a bye, because their path
that
is just
sense.
A little bit easier. Minnesota's going to have one. The question is, do they host at home throughout, indoors, in a dome, which would be a really big deal if they could catch the Eagles in the next couple weeks, or don't they? I would go with the Vikings because I think their game is portable, first of all. If they've got to play an NFC title game in Philly, let's say, and there's snow on the ground and it's a cold, blustery day, they can beat you up defensively and they can run the ball on you. But if they're getting to play on carpet at some point, let's say somehow against the Rams or something in the playoffs, in Los Angeles or in New Orleans, if that worked itself out, they're just a game ahead of New Orleans right now on carpet in a dome. They can also sling it around. And Case Keenum can go out and go 25 of 35 for 296 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks. Thielen is one of the better receivers in the sport on the outside.
He's good.
Diggs is solid in the slot. Rudolph is exceptional in the red zone. And their running game, even without Dalvin Cook, is fine. They're good with Latavius Murray and you saw Jerick McKinnon go for 100 out of the backfield this past week. The way Case Keenum's playing, though, not beating them, the key, more so than having to go out and win them games, I think he's every bit as good as Nick Foles in Philly's offense.
Agreed.
That's the only team better than them on paper. I don't think the difference between Goff in L.A. and Keenum right now in Minnesota is that huge. So I have no real problems with the Vikings. If I had to put money on someone, I debate between the Eagles and the Vikings because they're the teams that are going to have to win the fewest games to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you win one game, you're in the NFC title game.
Makes sense.
I would go with Minnesota because their defense has been better than Philly's the last few weeks.
Yeah,
and their
Philly's defense is falling apart.
And their quarterback goes back to the first month of the season, whereas Foles is kind of getting up to speed as we go here. I know he looked good this past week. Go back and watch some of those 4 touchdowns, just wide open receivers. Same way I would say with Kirk Cousins this week. 2 touchdowns, no picks. They were Jay Gruden touchdowns. Jamison Crowder, wide open, great design. A screen that went 36 yards. Similar kind of deal with Nick Foles. The line was exceptional. He was okay. He was good, just like I would say for Kirk Cousins. But Foles' line was probably better than the performance in that game. So I'm going to go Vikings, believe it or not. You're going Panthers. We'll take some calls on this next. 800-636-1067. What NFC team would you put your money on? We'll give you our AFC predictions. If you had to bet on someone getting to the Super Bowl right now, who would it be? We'll do that next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, I'm going to read this out loud, and I just want to get Danny's live reaction to something he hasn't heard yet. Okay? This is a report online. I just want to read this and get your initial reaction. This is from Mike Jarecki of Arizona Sports Station 98.7.
All right.
All right. Jeff Fisher wants to get back into the NFL next year. He could be eyeing 3 different jobs if they open. The Cleveland Browns, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Chicago Bears. Fisher buyout from the Rams was $16 million.
I'd like to get into mail modeling. I'm eyeing several catalogs, several positions, whatever opens up, I'll probably be a spokesman for a product line.
He'll get interviews. Do you think he'll get a job?
He probably will, honestly, because he's so well-liked, but I should be a mail model before he's an NFL head coach.
Like, Mike Shanahan could have taken a couple different jobs had he have wanted them. He was kind of waiting for specific jobs that either weren't offered or weren't available, what have you. Jeff Fisher might be able to get a job. The question is, are you going to try to handpick the job you want or just get back into football?
He should be desperate to get back into football. Every day that passes, he looks worse. Every quarterback that was under his care, whatever you want to call it, and couldn't produce a first down,
he wasn't
that's
an
thriving.
Offensive coach, in fairness.
His team, his staff, yeah. His Rob Boris, whoever that guy is, who should never coach football again, even at the peewee level.
It's Rob Boris.
Every day that passes and Sean McVay takes the same team and gets home field advantage and beats Seattle's butt and looks good with the talent that you squandered for years, he's such a bad football coach, and no one wants to talk about it because he's so well-liked. He's so well-liked. He's such a nice dude.
Well, he was
he's
a
so
decent
good at
coach
it.
For a while.
Yeah, then the game passed.
Yeah, exactly. I just think at this point the ship has sailed. Here's another note from the NFL. Thomas Davis, we talked about his hit yesterday. Vicious helmet-to-helmet shot while – I'll use air quotes here, blocking Davante Adams after an interception return for the Panthers defense. He was suspended for 2 games for that hit. Joe Thomas, longtime NFL offensive lineman, tweeted that the NFL got it wrong by suspending Thomas Davis for 2 games for his hit and Gronk only 1 game for his hit on a defenseless opponent. He said hits that happen after the whistle are intended to injure
100%.
Gronk should face more steeper penalties than blocks that happen during a play.
Davis. I could not agree more.
All right, me too. And that's it's just intuitive. Yeah. It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone agrees with that, except apparently the NFL.
Except the league.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did we get here?
I don't know. Maybe repeat offense for Davis if he's done this before?
Well, he is supposedly a repeat offender, at least in terms of perception. Aaron Rodgers, among others, have called him that.
Yeah, if he's a habitual line stepper, then maybe you do that. But, man, to me, the dirty play that was Rob Gronkowski, that's the thing you have to eliminate no matter what. But they care more about the live in-game eliminating of dirty plays, I guess, than they do after the whistle defenseless receivers that are concussed on the ground plays. Strange to me.
Speaking of Gronk, we'll tell you who we'd put our money on to come out of the AFC and get to the Super Bowl in a minute. Kyle's in Fairfax wants to chime in. What's up, Kyle?
What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I don't want to really talk too much about the AFC because I think it's a consensus toss-up between the Pats and the Steelers, so I will just pick the Steelers. I think they're a better team. The NFC is fascinating this year. I am going to take the Saints over the Vikings barely. I think the construction of the teams are not too far away because the Saints learned how to play defense. It's really just a big change, but I also feel like when you have a big playoff game, I don't want Case Keenum. I want Drew Brees. And in the off chance that the Saints are going to go to Philly and play outdoors, we know that the Saints don't have a good track record. This is a new Saints team with Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara leading the charge. That means that Drew Brees doesn't really have to put all of this on his back. And if he does have to put it on his back, I'd take Brees over Keenum.
I agree with all of that. And to your point, one of the teams better than them, they may have to travel to Minnesota, would be a game indoors. However, I do worry about the Saints outside because Drew Brees, particularly in cold weather, and it's weird because he went to Purdue, he's just different.
Well, it's because
it's
that offense,
the same.
It's just a speed, quick game offense. It's built on Kamara's fast. I mean, Ingram's a bruiser between the tackles.
But is longer than – Kamara's been there for 6 minutes. This is 8 years of Drew Brees outside just being a different guy and the Saints being a different team.
Right, because they're built for that indoor dome speed game. And when you got to make that travel, they've never been able to run the ball under Sean Payton, ever. And now that you
can.
Yeah, now that you can, maybe that does travel outside. I don't know.
I'm surprised neither of us picked them, honestly. They were my number two team behind Minnesota. AFC. We should probably take the Patriots out of the equation. Because if you're putting money on anybody and you don't put it on the Patriots, it's probably dumb money, right?
Here's the thing. Steelers had them.
Steelers
can play with
them. But the Patriots have scored 50 more points. They've allowed fewer points. They're plus 121 compared to Pittsburgh's plus 66.
All true.
New England 7-1 at home where that game would be at this point. I get that Pittsburgh's been great on the road as well, 6-1. But you're putting money down? You're going to bet on the Steelers over the Patriots?
No.
Banged up Antonio Brown and Ryan Shazier not on the field? They're a defensive leader? I can't do that.
Now, New England's not all the way healthy either in terms of their defense and the
They're missing their best player on both sides of the ball, arguably?
It's not like that. So I think Brown will be back by the time those two teams will play. And it's a game I can't wait to see. So I guess maybe if I am wagering, everyone's going to wager in New England. So maybe I'll throw my $5 on Pittsburgh, who's got worse odds, obviously.
Well, how about this? Because those are the two teams that have separated themselves, let's go with the rest of the pack. Jacksonville at 10-4, two games better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City 8-6, Tennessee 8-6, and then the wild card teams with the same records, Buffalo and Baltimore. If one of these teams got hot and got to the Super Bowl, who's got the best chance?
Jacksonville's defense is so absurdly good. I mean, I need to restate this. They're so absurdly good. They've given up 100 less points than almost everybody else in football. They've given up 209 points, which is remarkable in this day and age. The Patriots, by the way, 274, the next best among playoff teams in the AFC.
Jacksonville could have one of those games like the Giants did in a couple Super Bowls or the Broncos did a couple times where they just get to Tom Brady and make him look pedestrian in the playoffs. We always forget about those games.
Yeah.
Because he wins Super Bowls every couple years.
He just wins, though.
But there are plenty of playoff games on the ledger where pressure up the middle, he completes about 56% of his passes for a touchdown and a pick, and they lose.
I just don't see that offense without some of the pieces that they've lost, the Allens, those guys, whether it's Robinson, Hearns, et cetera. Some of these young kids, the D.D. Westbrooks, the Keelan Coles, the guys that you would never pick out of a lineup, being able to make plays like that in a playoff game. If it comes down to Blake Bortles having to throw passes for you, I don't trust it, and that's just kind of where I'm at. The team that I think, if it's not New England or Pittsburgh, that it's going to be, I mentioned them earlier, I think it's Kansas City. Kansas City has looked terrible in the middle of the sandwich. Beginning, the first slice of bread, they looked awesome. Middle of the season, dreadful. Disastrous. Oh, my God, what the hell is going on? Now you're starting to put the top part of the bread on? Very quietly, 7 turnovers forced in the last couple games, scoring around 30 points a game in those. The offense looks like it did early on in the season where Kareem Hunt either busted through that rookie wall or they're getting them the ball creatively again. Kelsey's a weapon. Hill's a deep weapon. That's kind of been the thing. When they go deep, they're all of a sudden really dynamic. Kansas City, I still think, is lurking and dangerous.
So I got to see them do it another couple weeks.
I agree
with that. Before I get really all over them again. They burned me once.
They hurt you.
They did. They've played well the last two games. One of those was against the Raiders, who aren't very good. The Chargers were hot, and they handled them. That was a great sign. The Jags are my answer, though. You get to the playoffs, and you play suffocating defense, which is what I think they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You get to 6-7 sacks in a game, which is what I think they're capable of doing every time they take the field.
Yeah, they are.
You beat good teams that way. I think they could upset Pittsburgh. I think they could upset New England. Now, I don't think that they will. I won't pick them to do it. But I think if they played 10 times, whereas I would have said, they lose maybe 7 out of those 10, 5-6 weeks ago, the way Bortles is playing right now, if they can run the ball, and in the playoffs, cold weather environment in Pittsburgh or New England, perhaps outdoors, that's what it's going to come down to. Stop the run, run the football. I think they could beat those two teams. So if you take out the best, I would have Jacksonville as my third team that I would want to put money on.
Yeah,
there.
Patriots are the odds-on favorite. I mean, Vegas thinks so. According to the latest odds, they were it's kind of a waste of money to bet on them because you have to bet a lot to win a little.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Rick Snyder wrote a story about Jay Gruden's future with the team and what Sunday meant for Jay. We'll get to him at 1 o'clock. We're also going to talk Kobe Bryant next hour as well. You are listening, man. Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Where are you at on your preparations for Christmas, Danny? How you feeling?
Well, not good. I thought I was all solved. Then complications happen. I can't say anything else in case interested parties are listening.
Go on. Give me more detail.
Can't do it. I had the thing done. Find out that it's not
done. I know
done.
What this is about.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Still up in the air. I need answers and information immediately.
So wait, you still haven't solved that dilemma?
It's not solved. Not solved. Couldn't be more irritated about it. I'm sending emails. I don't have to. I can't call right now, but I need to call. I need this handled. I want it done. It's not done. Very irritated.
Question. Yes. How many people do you generally have to get presents for?
It's a great question.
And follow up. Do you handle presents for people, or is it all your wife?
It's mixed.
What about like your dad? Are you picking out the present for him?
My sister and I did that.
Together?
We went in together. We got something.
Is that normal? That's the yearly staple?
Yeah, that's probably close to norm.
Okay.
Close to norm.
So that is, but that's not like, hey, your wife saying, I got something for your dad.
That has happened.
Yeah.
So, but there's communication.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you get something for your wife.
Mm-hmm.
How involved are you in the offspring process? Or is that you're not doing the shopping?
I'm in
for
the
that?
Information gathering part of that. If the hint is dropped or like he says, I want this.
But
or,
you're not
or Santa
going to
says
the store.
This. Typically, no, I'm not.
Okay. Who else am I missing? Is there another person that you will have to get a present for other than your wife?
That I have to do?
Or does she do all of it?
She's doing a lot here, but there's discussion. It's not as if I'm just sort of this passenger that's like, just tell me what the bill is, honey. No, I mean, like we talk about what we're getting for her brother and sister-in-law, her mom,
her
dad.
But I'm saying, are you doing it online or is she going to stores?
Mixed.
Okay.
Mixed.
But you're not getting online generally to hit the buttons.
I've done that. I've gotten online to hit the buttons.
This holiday season?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
I've gotten online to hit the buttons.
So you're very much in the mix.
I'm in the mix. I mean, she's pulling. She's the anchor here. She's pulling 75% of this thing. I'm 25%.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not a wallflower.
But you've still got work to do.
Yeah, and I'm so irritated about it.
So I was thinking that it's a great thing that Christmas falls. I believe it falls on a Monday this year. Christmas
right
Eve is this coming Sunday mm-hmm. when the Redskins play the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that's a great thing because you got the 2-day ramp up. I think it's actually better in some way if it happens during the week because you're more likely to take time off. You're in.
Because that's what I'm doing.
Like I'm in through Friday.
No, I'm out Friday, man.
You're out this Friday.
22nd through the 29th, no Danny.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
We're all Danny free.
So you're out this coming Friday.
That's right.
So what I was about to say is, I feel like short of taking a day off, it's impossible to get ready for Christmas. Is that fair?
Say it one more time.
Unless you take a day off from work,
uh-huh.
It's almost impossible to feel like you're ready for Christmas. Like, how do you get ready?
Right. It's a great question. I mean, We've done very little decorating. Like, we just kind of put the lights up.
Do you have a Christmas tree up?
Yeah, we did that.
Fake or real?
Real. Went to see our buddies at the Salt Line.
Good for you.
Where the proceeds benefit the D.C. Firefighters Burn Foundation. This guy's doing an awesome job of that.
So they have trees out there?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. So you went and got a tree.
Got a tree.
Big tree, little tree?
Medium-sized tree. I mean, we got a small condo.
Right. So you put the tree up, you decorate?
Yep.
Does Bill Rowland help you while he's calling Mason games?
He gets bored after 17 seconds. So he put one thing up, and then that was kind of it for him.
Do you have ornaments like his first ornament, every year, your couple ornaments?
Yeah, we sort of tried to do that, but then it's like, again, we don't have storage.
Do you have a theme for the tree? Is it certain colors or?
No.
Okay.
Just things to make it look nice.
Gotcha.
Kind of.
And then what kind of decorations around the house?
Very little in that regard. A couple candles here and there. There's not many bows or anything like that up. We don't
really
have
lights
that.
Outside at all?
No, because there's no place to put them.
But you have a balcony, don't you?
Yeah.
You could like wrap the balcony or something.
I suppose we could, but we did not.
Okay. I haven't done anything outside, and it bothers me.
It bothers you?
Bothers me.
Why are you bothered?
Well, I come home at night. There's no Christmas light.
What responsibility do you have other than, like, it would be fun?
It would make me happier if I came home and there were Christmas lights on.
I feel like those and the Christmas card that people feel like they have to send out are showpieces.
We did send a card out this year. That was all the fiancé, nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I have made my position on those very clear. We've talked about this. I think it was a couple weeks ago we talked about it. I think those are the biggest wastes that we have.
I like them.
I know you do.
I got them from a few people, and I go, oh, this is very sweet. This is very nice. Just a few minutes where someone's thinking about people and saying, hey, I'm gonna say happy holiday.
See, that's the optimistic little British boy view.
I was thinking of me on Christmas Day.
It was lovely to be thought about.
It was very kind that they thought of me. Just me over here very hungry. I wish I had some bread.
But that's the kind view. Here's me with the cynical view. Look at how awesome we're doing. We got the whole group together. Here are the turtlenecks that we wore. Here are the sweaters. And little Keegan with 7 Y's is still allergic to peanuts, but doing great. That's all they are. They're showpieces. You don't need to send
it's
them
nice.
Out to let people know
Here's
how you're
what
doing.
I like about it. You have a son. I barely get to see it. Once I would say every 7-8 weeks, you show me like a picture and he's got a new haircut or
I don't
whatever.
Want to overburden you with
it. Well, I understand. But it's cool. If you send me that thing and I'm like, oh my gosh, look how big Bill is now. See what I'm saying? Like, that to me is interesting.
It's just bragging that you had the time to do it. That's what Christmas cards are. There's no reason to send them other than status, than to show you, like, this is how great we're doing.
That is so cynical.
Yeah. To me, they're so dumb. You can send somebody a Merry Christmas text, a Merry Christmas email. You could reach out.
That takes 3 seconds. The cards take getting addresses, putting them in the mail. There's some work. That really means that you cared.
Here's what it means. We have, one of us has time to do this, and we're willing to spend the money. Just we can afford it. To me, get a gift for somebody if you care about it. I think they're the silliest things that people now, it's expected that
so
you're supposed
you
to do them.
So did you guys do one?
No.
What if the wife said, hey, I want to do a card this year?
I would tell her the same thing I just told you. I think it's stupid.
But you'd be, if she did it all and sent it, you wouldn't care. You'd be fine.
I'd care. I mean, I would say again, if I'm not going to stop you from doing this. Or right. You know, we're not going to do...
You will not send that
card. We're not doing the Samuel Jackson movie with Christina Ricci where I chain you to the radiator. We ain't doing that crap, but I think it's dumb. I mean, I would express that opinion. I have before previously where she's like, should we send out a card? And I'm going, no, we should not. Whoever you want to speak to, let's speak to them. Let's FaceTime them. Let's text them a picture of our son if that's what you want to do. This is just the, you know, guys, we're doing so well. And here's our family and it's so perfect. It's not as good. You know, we're better than you. Take it easy. Bye.
That
I think it's so stupid.
I can't believe that's how you feel about
it. It's so smarmy and cheesy and dumb. Now, I've had a couple buddies that do it in a funny way. Or my one buddy used to date a graphic designer. And, like, he just sent a picture of him, looked like he was flying. And just sent that as his holiday card. Funny. Humorous. But
that
the,
is
like,
funny.
Family shot in front of the fireplace where everyone's wearing matching sweaters and you get everyone, like, looking cutesy. Like, pipe down with that.
At Humorous Danny on Instagram. Our buddy Chad Dukes, who hosts from 2 to 6. Chad Dukes versus the world here on The Fan, is chiming in. What's
Dukes
up, Chad?
Say.
I, Danny, I feel so bad for you. Like, just listening to what you just said about Christmas cards is so depressing to me. And I just have that level of malice towards something that benign. And this is me saying that. That's all I do.
By the way, I'm shocked, Chad. I thought you were calling in to tell Danny he was right, even though you love Christmas.
No, he loves Christmas.
I know he does. But he hates people who are, quote, making it about them, which is kind of what a Christmas card is. But you're Team Grant here, Chad.
Yeah, I just, whenever I get them, I got one from our boss. I'm always happy that I'm on the list. I get them from people that I don't expect. And I don't like the form letter where they write a letter that everybody gets about how great everything is when you know that the kids are addicted to meth and that dad's got hypertension and the mom's cheating with the milkman. Like, we know all that stuff, but, like, if I just get a picture of the family and they're doing something nice, like, I can't imagine having that much malice towards that.
Can you imagine getting something just so pleasant and sweet that someone thought about you for 1 minute, Chad, and you go, these people are saying they're better than me. I hate them.
It's a middle finger. You have to look for it, but you can see it.
I do hate the letter. Dukes is on point.
Yeah, he's right with that.
I've never gotten one in my adult life, but there used to be people that would send my mom and dad letters about their family every year. And I always thought, even at like 10 years old, I thought, this is the weirdest thing to give us this update on this college kid who's definitely just like drunk every day and how great he's doing in his classes. I don't know. Why does anyone care about that update? That's a fair assessment.
Did you guys see the Sicario 2 trailer yet?
I haven't watched it yet. I just saw that it came out. I'm looking forward to checking
it out. What are your thoughts, dude?
I get steamed up. I can't wait. I hope they start a Sicario cinematic universe. I can't wait.
6 of them.
With spinoffs with original characters.
Dukes, I'm looking forward to you getting the Christmas card that Allison put in the mail on our behalf.
I can't wait. It'll go right up with the other Christmas cards on the door jam around so everybody can see how many more friends we have than the Rouillets.
That's beautiful. What it is.
By the way, Danny, thank you, buddy. Danny, you get that card, and you're going to look at it and go, Grant and Allison suck.
I'm not.
I hate
that. No. I think everyone's misunderstood my position.
It's because you said that you think that.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm never doing it. Yeah. I think it's silly to do. I think it's a great big waste. It's still nice, as you said, for a moment to be thought of, but it's one of those, like, To me, it's a fool's errand. It's a great big waste of money and printing space and time and energy and effort.
There is money and energy and effort that doesn't need to be exerted.
It's, to me, very limited upside. The same thing would be accomplished if you sent me a message Christmas morning going, Merry Christmas, man. Hope you guys are doing great.
Yeah.
That, to me, means infinitely more than, like, I lost some weight. I look nice. Allison's got a nice dress on. We posed for this. We had some time to do it. Like, that, to me, is just sort of like, I don't know. It makes my skin crawl.
I get the warm, cozy Christmas feel when I get those. I enjoy it. I love those. How about this? Yep. Whatever you get, just send to me.
Just give them to you.
I'll put those strangers up at my house.
We get a nice pile of them by the front desk.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Rick Snyder wrote a column about Jay Gruden's future. We'll ask him about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.